could hear this sound. With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined by what I call the voice of Bondi Tunes International, Enda Caldwell. Welcome to the show.
Good evening or good day, or perhaps it's... Thank you. It's like it's evening here, and it's good afternoon to you. And who knows what time it is anywhere that people are listening, because we live in such a 24-hour world these days.
We do. So, Henry, we do.
Thank you for the welcome.
I got to ask you, what are you doing in the Cayman Islands?
Wow, that's a good question. I've kind of asked myself that question many times too, but I'm here because I set up my own special economic zone company at the Cayman Enterprise City, and I set it up for the reason to do my business, but do it in the sunshine, and also they say do it tax-free. Just hopping into the back of my good friend Prashant's taxi at this moment in time, and giving an interview for Bondi Tunes. So, and it's all go, it's all go.
You're in transit as we speak. The Cayman Islands is well known as a kind of a tax haven. Is that fair to say?
I think it is, yes. But it wasn't my major attraction. The attraction was the sunshine and the beaches, and obviously the people. The fact that it's the Caribbean lifestyle and also the Caribbean pace of life, which might remind you of small town Ireland back in the day, Henry, 50 years ago.
Yes.
So it's nice in that regard. And also then just it's generally the fact that its location is close to USA and it has so much US influence, but also that it has British government history as well.
I was going to say, where does that stand? I mean, obviously it was a British territory. Is that the case, or what's their politics these days? Are they still a territory of Great Britain?
To a certain degree, but this country has its own parliament, and there's actually a general election happening right now. Now that you mention, so I'm not going to get into politics. Don't talk about religion or politics. However, the thing is that the campaigns are happening at the moment, and some of the issues include a huge dump in the middle of the island, which is sort of placed there 50 years ago, and everything is sort of built up around it, and now it went on fire last Friday, and it actually caused smoke over the capital city, Georgetown. So it has caused sort of, it's an issue, and on many other things as well. And of course the pandemic payments is another issue that they talk about as well when they're trying to get re-elected, because they, you know, obviously whichever side that you're on, you have to have a side. So, you know, I wish them the best, all of the sides in the election. But I would I would just say that those are some of the issues, and there are many other intricate issues which are to be dealt with. There are, you know, inconsistencies of various things on this island. One thing I would like them to sort out is the work permits, so that, you know, they have an equality for Caymanians, non-Caymanians, so that it is easier for someone like me to walk into a radio station and say, hey, you're pretty good on air, we'll give you a gig. But at the moment it's very, very tight, and they can only hire Caymanians. Not if I was Rick Dees, would they give me a job, you know? And if people don't know who Rick Dees is, well, perhaps, Henry, you could fill them in.
Yes, he had a syndicated radio show a long time ago. I'm not sure what the story is with Rick Dees these days, but very, very globally popular. In fact, we used to play him on the Great Radio Nova every Sunday, I think it was. Was it Rick Dees, a top 40?
And he turned 71 there just recently as well. Just after St. Patrick's Day, his birthday was around the same as my dad, who's just a year younger than him. And then I myself had my birthday along with Lady Gaga and Skills at BBC Radio 1 on Sunday, which was the 28th of March. But Lady Gaga is the age I wish I was, 35, and I was 46. And Scott Mills, would you believe, is on a national youth station at 47 years of age, but still pulling in record numbers and doing a fantastic job. But he did mention that he had spent his second birthday in lockdown, because if you think he lives in London and they were in lockdown last year, this time,
yes,
and now again this year. So it's interesting to say. But how are you getting on in Bondi?
Oh, look, you know, Australia is doing pretty well. And if we're talking about the pandemic, basically, Queensland's gone into lockdown again because of some cases in Brisbane up there. But and northern New South Wales, there's a bit of a problem there, a couple of cases. But otherwise, we're doing pretty well on this continent. Probably because we are an island, we've been able to sort of, you know, get really stop a lot of the stuff that has happened, as you know, in Europe, because we are girthed by sea. I think that's in the national anthem. And yeah, so it's pretty good by comparison. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And tell me, in the Cayman Islands, how is it with the pandemic and COVID? Has it been bad?
No, I mean, this island had some small cases way before I arrived, and they managed to just stamp it out completely. There was nothing, and they closed their borders pretty much like New Zealand, and they've kept it that way, and there's a very, very strict quarantine set up. When I arrived here, not only just to come to the island, you had to be already tested and have a medical and everything, but on top of that, COVID. So, I mean, once you arrive here, they test you on arrival, then they drive you a PCR wagon, pretty much like the one I'm in right now, Prashant. I'm in his wagon at this moment, and he will take you to have a PCR test at the end of your 15-day quarantine, and then they will give you the result, and not until you have the result and they say that you can go can you leave your quarantine quarters, or you'll be in massive trouble. They actually give you a bracelet to wear, and that's connected to a phone which they monitor 24/7, and if anyone breaches that, there's a massive fine. Now, one girl did, yeah, there's a fine, there's actually imprisonment, sorry, yes, actually imprisonment, I've been corrected, I stand corrected, but they, you know, there's an imprisonment. So if you do that, so I mean, and they're right to do that. And they protect their borders wisely. If people are now vaccinated, instead of a 15-day quarantine, when they come back, they will only have a 10-day quarantine. But it's, you know, it's slow going, and we have to wait and watch and see what happens next.
Have you done the 15 days?
Oh, I've done that. Yeah, I did that way back in January into February. Yes, I did the 15 days.
Right. Hence, the reason you're in a cab. Okay.
Well, I'm in a cab and I'm free to roam. I'm free to go and work. But I mean, then I had to have my work permit approved. I have no COVID. I'm COVID free. But yes. But then the other thing to bear in mind is that, we are COVID free. It's a COVID free island, and I'm COVID free.
And you're COVID-free. Yeah. So what are you actually doing there? You mentioned to me, off-air, you mentioned briefly the Bennstown blog.
That's right. The Bennstown blog. Well, I mean, Bennstown.com do a blog all about who's behind the mic, who are the voiceovers behind the mic. And I'm one of the guys that they wanted to talk to. And they asked me all about, you know, my experiences over the past 25 years as a voiceover. I don't know if you can post a link up somewhere on the Bondi Tunes site, but also the, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah, and the taxi driver is even feeling generous tonight as well, because this blog went so well. He's always generous, but he's even feeling extra generous tonight. But I mean, it was a great blog. I think we would not go on and on and on about it, but they asked me funny questions at the end, like, what's your favorite pizza toppings? And I actually said things like banana, I like pineapple, I like Hawaiian. And they asked me then, who would I like to have if I was having a dinner party? And I said people like Howard Stern, and if there are people like that. Also, Lady Gaga would be good as well to have. Yeah. And there were other people that I sort of mentioned as well, like Dua Lipa. I think she's a current new star that I would really like. And then I've just arrived home right now. But, I mean, I won't bore people. I prefer to point people in the direction of the blog on Bennstown.com, if it's still live, and that people could go to the Bondi Tunes site and read it and look at it and sort of get a few hits on it that way, rather than trying to, you know, it's a quite an extensive interview. But I mean, Ben's Town are a company, and they do all the radio idents and commercials for radio in America. And it was a great coup for me to get that as a commercial gig. So
yes, absolutely.
I suppose that's it. And I mean, the current issues we're talking about is that everywhere in Ireland and other places like that are actually, you know, really locked down. Our native Ireland is really locked down. I don't know what the situation is like in India, but also Brazil is really killed with it.
Yes, I've seen that. I just want to let our listeners know, Benstown is spelled B-E-N-Z-T-O-W-N, Benstown. Our website is currently down, so that's why I've been really quiet when you said to me about bonditunes.com. We're trying to sort that out.
Yeah.
Talking of the Emerald Isle and where we're from, is there anything that... I know that you've only been over there in the Cayman Islands very recently, since, say, January, I think you mentioned. Do you miss anything about... I mean, and you've travelled extensively, Endicott. Well, I know this. You spent time in America.
It's my mum and dad, but they're still alive and well, and thankfully there. That's what I miss most in Ireland, and my family as well. But we as a nation, we like family, we like community, we also like people, and we like the fact that we used to be able to walk into a pub, greet somebody, and buy a pint of Guinness, and those sort of rights have been taken away from people, and travelling rights, and just within, you know, their counties and stuff. So it's very tough, and it's tough on people in England. I have a lot of friends there, as you know, I lived there, and
yes,
Luxembourg has the same problem. Nearly everywhere I have lived before, but I chose the Cayman Islands because I thought, why not do it, you know?
You, when I go to I'm just Korea, looking at... I'm sorry, we've got a bad line, by the way, dear listener. We'll make it. I'm just looking at Google and where you are in the Cayman Islands. I mean, really, you're not that far away from, you know, Cuba and Jamaica. I know you can't travel at the moment, but I would be so tempted, especially with Cuba.
Well, that's right. Well, it eventually, I suppose, come August or, you know, after this April time, and when I've been vaccinated, when things are free, when I see the numbers going down, I don't want to be going in somewhere that I may be at risk, because I don't want to be putting any of my fellow compatriots on this island and my fellow countrymen of Cayman at risk. I mean, I'm here 5 years, so I've plenty of time.
Really?
Plenty of time.
5 years? But
there's all the time. Yeah, well, I have a 5-year work permit here, so it's all good. It's,
wow.
You know, the countries wouldn't give me that. Australia, America, you know.
Yeah, well, I know about Australia. But that's fantastic. So, are you making friends there? Did you know people before you went to the Cayman Islands?
Lots of good friends. Many friends, but I've a select few group of people which are very close to me. And that's the way I keep it. And it's great. And all the people you need. You only need so many people as you can count on one hand, you know?
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, it gets cluttered
right,
otherwise.
Exactly. And you know what's great?
And the weather is good as well, obviously.
Looking back on me, weather is always good. It's like the best of many worlds, not both worlds. So, and we have so many nationalities of people. I'm standing beside 133 different nationalities. So, and with, you know, with that in mind, 65,000 population. So divide that up as you will. And, you know, it's a great mix, melting pot of people.
Are these expats?
Yeah, there's a lot of expat community here. There's all that 60 something thousand. There's probably at least
Cayman,
half. Yeah,
Caymanians are like 35.
35,000 of them, and so the rest would be made up of about 20,000 of us, which are Irish, English, you know, all of the nationalities, Eastern Europe, you know, we've Indians, Asians, Luxembourgers. We have people from Brazil. We have people from everywhere, all of the South American places. Many Canadians. And a lot of people from Middle East, France. I have a colleague who works in the Cayman Enterprise City. And if people look that up and people would like to have a look at that and base themselves here, they could also do that, you know.
What's the social life like? I mean, you know, taking COVID into
party
account.
I had to pull it back and do 1 month or maybe 2 months, no alcohol, because when you get here first, its tendency is to party. So we've killed that down, and we're on a 1 month of no alcohol and sobriety, and it's going really well, Henry. Yeah, it's great.
Did they, you know, like in South Africa, where they banned alcohol, and then they reintroduced alcohol. This is all because of COVID, and then they banned it again. I always find that a kind of a contentious issue, because people who drink too much alcohol, when they stop drinking alcohol,
there's always somewhere you can get a drink 24/7 here, more or less. Well, except on Sundays, because it is a very, very religious island, and a lot of liquor stores close and things like that. So it's, you know, it's Saturdays everything closes at 12. So it's very religious. It's
like, so what are the religions there?
Well, I think it's Christian, perhaps mainly Christian, and there's a lot of Catholicism, and their people are lovely. They have a saying here which is called Cayman Kind, which is a kindness that they have, and you know, it's where you're walking on the road and somebody would actually say, "Hey man, you want a lift?" And they'd give you a ride to where you're going, and they're just generally nice like that. They try to do you a good turn in the Christian way that, you know, perhaps it might come back on you. So I really like that, you know.
It sounds like, you know, Ireland 50 years ago, you know, where you could literally, everyone says hello walking down the street. They all say hello to each other, that kind of thing.
It was 30 degrees centigrade. Yeah, they do. They all say hello to each other. Yeah, people are very friendly here. And there's, you know, that's one of the things that attracted 2.33 million people to come in on cruise ships here. And that was what the major trade of this island was. And this is why it's suffering so much at the moment.
Yes.
The government are giving people at least 1,500 into their account, those who are Caymanian, to support them and help them through this terrible time. But, you know, we are rebuilding, we are getting ready for a reopening, and keeping positive and praying that the rest of the world will follow suit.
It's X1071 Radio, Blake and Aaron, live from the beach. We got a brand new track for you.
Matt Brown, Ben Hudd, Rum Point.
Check it out.
White sand, blue skies. We're having a good time. However you came, by plane or by cruise, this is for you.
This is for you.
I could take you to the party. I got the rum. We're chilling on the beach, sipping piña coladas. I'm such a bum, I'm falling out my seat.
Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right.
We up in the Caymans, all the police are chilling on the beach. I am on the hot sand, it's 90 degrees. You checking out the scenery, all up in my camera. All up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my camera.
Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right.
I could take you to the party, I got the rum. We chilling on the beach, sipping piña coladas. I'm such a bum, I'm falling out my seat. I could take you to the party, I got the rum. We're chilling on the beach, sipping piña coladas. I'm such a bum, I'm falling out my seat.
Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left.
Now this is my culture, and the words that I utter sound wicked with a stutter, stutter. And I could teach you salsa, bachata, merengue, you're so bonita. All up in my camera, all up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my cam, you be all up in my camera. All up in my camera.
Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right.
I could take you to the party, I got the rum. We chilling on the beach, sipping piña coladas. I'm such a bum, I'm falling out my seat. I could take you to the party, I got the rum. We chilling on the beach, sipping piña coladas. I'm such a bum, I'm falling out my seat.
Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right. Swinging on my hammock, going left and left and right.
It's the beautiful Cayman Islands. Hope you had a good time. You're welcome anytime. Bring your friends, bring your family, come back again. We'd love to have you. Sit down on the beach, have a margarita, have a martini. Whatever you like, you can do it right here.
From Bondi Beach, Henry O'Donovan is the Sydney correspondent, and he is Bondi Tunes International.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now!
It sounds, Ender, and if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Ender Caldwell, who is the voice of Bondi Tunes. I always like to say he gets embarrassed when I say that, but he is. He's a jingle you heard before this interview. Ender, what are the chances? This is early days for you, given you've got a five-year work contract. Could you see yourself living there?
Oh, I am. I'm living here.
Well, you are, I guess.
And I'm very much settled here. I'm outside my home, and I'm very much based here. It's been a full move, and I'm, you know, obviously with much trepidation and not without its own you know, things that unforeseen things, but they were things like when I was flying here, my flight was supposed to go over America, and it was supposed to go over America, but they wouldn't let me go through America, so I had to rebook a flight via Canada. This was before Canada shut its borders to come to Kingston, Jamaica. Yes. And so when I got to Kingston, Jamaica, I had to spend an unexpected week in Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's great. It was wonderful. Yeah, I got to see where Bob Marley statue is and the Bob Marley Museum. And I got to also feel very connected with my Jamaican brothers, you know, and it was wonderful, actually, to be honest. And
it's funny you mentioned that, Ender, because I interviewed a singer from Jamaica last week, actually.
Wonderful. And they're great people, and there's a real feeling of Jamaica here because there are so many Jamaicans. There's a lot of history. It is part of the British Jamaica, really. It's part of those British West Indies, you know. It's in that vein, and so with that in mind and with that sort of feeling in mind, there's that easygoing nature of the Jamaicans. But there's a very low crime rate here as compared to perhaps Jamaica, so you could leave your door open, you could really say, rest assured, that there's not going to be anything stolen. It's such a small island. And obviously there is a 16% maybe crime rate of whatever, but it's quite low by comparison to most of the West Indies and of the other islands. But I mean, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm very happy and I'm grateful. I feel at home here. And the fact that there is, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, they celebrated St. Patrick's Day at the Irish pub. And I was down there and had a pint of Guinness, Paddy's. And you know,
what's an Irish pub like in the Cayman Islands? I guess it's the same as Irish pubs all over the world.
Yeah, Fidel Murphy's is one of them. There are many others, but there's that one in particular. And I think it's pretty much standard fare for the Irish pub, and the decor is very similar to any Irish pub. Lots of mahogany and wood, and you know, the real feel that you're in an Irish pub, but just when you step outside, there's palm trees and
and, you know, weather, nice weather.
25 to 30 degree heat. And also in that pub, you'll find English people, you'll find Caymanians themselves who are attracted to the Irish culture. You will also find all of the other nationalities there who have links with it. Maybe they've an Irish girlfriend or boyfriend. And also, like, just the crack, of course. And it was great to see it so busy. And in one sense, I was sad as I walked by it later in that evening when it was thronged, when I thought, well, you know, that's the way it is here. But so many people in Ireland wish, and people around the world in New York, these other big centres like Melbourne and Sydney and all these other places wish that they too could celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which has almost been annihilated by COVID, because the whole idea of St. Patrick's Day is people getting together, having fun, having a parade and unifying. So we, you know, I suppose it's just we have to wake up each day grateful for what we have, but also like hope that, without a smug nature, you know, to say, well, you know, please God that it will change around the world when you see the terrible mental effects that it has on people, and also the separation anxieties, not only of people here on the island who miss their friends and family. For me, I'm a new arrival, so, you know, I last saw my parents in January, and my sister, I saw her last July, and she's in Fort Myers, Florida, and her family.
Right. She's not so far away from you either. I mean, but you can't get there. That's the thing.
Not for the moment, but we're hoping. That was part of my other reason to base myself here, was to sort of be closer to the family there, and that once my parents arrive and can visit, it sort of connects the dots. And then, of course, me having a lot of friends in the radio industry in America, it's also a nice little close hop. It's only an hour flight to Miami. And if you wanted to anywhere else, it's a great hub, or you could go to Cuba. I think there was a Panama flight. Also, you could go back to Jamaica. You know, there are those type of flights. But at the moment, it's just so much hassle to actually and cost to do any travel, that you have to work out that you have a quarantine, and there's a cost to that quarantine. So you add that to your price of your travel. And the flights are like $300+ dollars, Cayman Islands dollars, to go to Miami. So they're not that expensive, but it's just a wrong time, really, to be, unless you have necessary travel. It's really kind of a wrong time to be trying to do all this travel. And at this moment, just for myself, it's better that I just base myself here, get used to the island, and then when things start to reopen, of course, you know, the hope is that it will be a great little base to kind of see South America, or go to Brazil again, as I had been last year, or, you know, wherever I would like to go. If I would like to go back to Jamaica or America, Miami, the world is your oyster, or visit Cuba. But, you know, I think it's just good at when you're in a place to sort of really base yourself and get both feet in, and then work from there on it, you know.
My tail in the air. Stray cat strut, I'm a
lazy cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova.
Hey, man, that's sad.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can. Style.
class and I got cat style.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International.
Andy, you technically, how are you set up technically? You obviously broadcast, you do voiceover work. Has there been any impediment to your ability with communication networks in terms of internet and that kind of thing where you are?
It's pretty good. Dennis O'Brien owns the whole network here, Digicel, so we're well looked after by Dennis. No, but it's great because you have Digicel and they're right across the Cayman Islands. And actually, Mike Hogan, who you would know from Radio Nova,
yes.
he was the man who came out here with Dennis and helped set all of this up. And they have a wonderful network and it's very well. Yeah, and I mean, it's one of the biggest all across the islands.
What on earth made them do something like that? I think it's fantastic, but it's interesting. A bit of a coincidence. I mean, we both know Mickey Hogan pretty damn well over the years. It's just interesting that it takes, you know, these Irish fellas. I don't know if the other guy's Irish. I don't know him. Isn't it funny how so I take it it's a commercial network.
Well, Dennis is the man who set up 98FM, and until recently, he owned half of the radio stations in Ireland that are worth talking about. So he has just recently sold to Bauer in Germany, News Talk, 98FM, Spin 138, and some of his other interests. He's a big player. Well, he's the person who, when it came to Robbie Robinson getting the Dublin license, Dennis was the man through one way or another got that license. And of course Robbie did contest that, and unfortunately Robbie lost, but
yes.
It's a whole other story for another tribunal. And I suppose, you know, Dennis has made good of it and built his empire on radio stations and mobile phone networks, but it's a teller when you see somebody of that level selling off a bunch of radio stations, because you can obviously see the writing on the wall where he obviously said, look, there's no more money left in radio on the terrestrial FM band.
Yes.
Of course, he continues to sell apps, and there's a D Music app, which is an app which comes with my mobile phone. I haven't explored it. It's rather like Spotify. And there are other things that are, I don't know if they had a television service, but there were certainly venturing into all other areas of, you know, because they were developing up these nations here. And I wonder when DAB will come into play here, because it will be very interesting and very handy, because you can have 10 stations on one multiplex, and it would be very helpful for stations here to have like 10 different varieties of stations. You could have an 80s, a 90s, you could have a 70s channel, you could have an oldies, and, you know, an ethnic music station.
DAB never really took off in Australia so far, anyway, which I think is really weird. We still have like the Shock Jocks on AM radio in Australia, and that's the only reason that still exists as in a medium. Interesting, you mentioned about, you know, these guys, these businessmen are very, very smart about the fact that terrestrial radio, as you call it, FM with 3-minute block ads, is really it must be dying in the ass. I mean, what kid in their 20s is going to listen to 3 minutes of ads?
Yeah. If you were to look at somewhere, for example, the same population as Australia, where there is DAB, and you have major radio groups in the Netherlands, and the Talpa Media Group, which is owned by Jan de Mol, who owned... Well, he owned the rights to a lot of these X Factor type programs and very big programs.
Yes.
You know, he was certainly involved in massive TV productions as well. And he really, you know, they are really hemorrhaging money in the Netherlands, where, you know, they've been also hit badly by COVID. Now, I was last there in July, August of last year, late July, and it wasn't so bad. But since that, of course, you know, Schiphol closed, and that's a major hub. And it's, you know, it's kind of scary to think. And also when you think about like my revenue based upon, say, Irish radio stations, who'd be, you know, normally a station like iRadio, for example, would be perhaps a station that averagely in the past couple of years could have been sending me 5 to 10 spot commercials to read. You're lucky if you get 1 to 2 even in a month now. And so, you know, and it's all because the reps are going out there and there's just shops shut and there's only essential services. So radio stations are really suffering in Ireland, in England, in the Netherlands, all around the world, and America as well, because, you know, obviously they're trying to keep a brave face upon it. But I do believe also that Clear Channel, who were iHeartMedia, were considering, or at least there was talk of them selling to Global, who own Capital in London. I've heard that, and I don't know what way that'll happen. That'll all be done in legal departments, because nowadays, if you want to buy a radio station, it's not just as simple as Chris Carey coming in with a briefcase of money, one or 2 million, say, no, I'll buy this radio station, and it's all like ready actual cash notes. It's all done in a very legal process, and it all has to be, you know, cleared by a board, and all has to be cleared by the governments, and there's an awful lot to that. Of course, you know, it's a massive deal. Rupert Murdoch, of course, has interests in Ireland, but I wonder how long he will keep those going for, because if it's not making money, I believe somebody like him will be very quick to just cut the cord on it and say, well, look, we need to walk away from this and we need to sell this off. But I don't know when that's going to happen. But if it's to happen to Dennis, there may be an evaluation process going on where they're saying, well, look, how long more are we going to keep pumping money into these things if we can't make this work? I mean, a lot of people are really fearing their jobs, not only in Dublin, but in all around the world, in terms of like program directors and people who've been on massive amounts of money, rightly or wrong. And now they're going to say, well, look, we can do this a lot more cheaply with people working from home, voice tracking, as we had been, as you know, Henry, by doing the likes of Bondi Tunes. And podcasting has come really to the forefront now. Brands, they're all talking about doing this, and they're doing it. A lot of the major brands are doing their own podcasts, and they're saying, up yours to radio. And they're doing it because they realized, hang on, it's cheaper for us to control our content, to get our agenda across, and also get plugs in for our brand. And this is this clever way in which marketing has taken over radio itself. And we were going to see, as you said, as you mentioned, with the 3 to 4 minute spot blocks. I mean, I detest them and I loathe them. And especially in US radio, where it was a pleasure one time to listen to 102.7 KISS FM. But now you turn it on and the top 40 sucks. Then they have a 3 or 4 minute ad block. Then you have a DJ who is really just talking at a certain audience, but not talking to the bigger audiences they had done back in the Nova days. And you would have had, you know, the top 40 radio being really king in New York and Los Angeles. And I mean, some of the bigger formats that are actually still working, would you believe, Henry, I have found, are the 70s, 80s, 90s classic hits format, where you're talking, and I know that Gold in Australia and New Zealand is working that way too, where a lot of those are coming to the forefront. The number one at the moment commercially in the Netherlands is a station called Radio 10, and which that would be the greatest hits of all time. And it's mainly because in an audience of 17 million potential listeners, it would have a 10.7 share, for example. And so that would be a 10 share, which a 10 share, as we know in radio, is it's gold dust. But even how do you sell pandemic, how can you sell that when you're thinking, actually, these advertisers have no money and they're really pulling back their budgets, all the big brands, because they know that they're just operating on a skeletal level. So it's, you know, if you kind of look around the world, there's nothing new or big happening. But I think after this, in a couple of years time, as it will take a couple of years for it to get out of this, I think we're going to look at a rejuvenation and a re-innovation of radio. And we'll go back to the way in which you had been going all along with Bondi Tunes. And we said this about perhaps, I'd say 7 or 8 years ago when we met at Merseyside. Mm. And we were talking about spot blocks and how they just don't work.
We were indeed, yes.
You know?
Yes. And it's a double whammy with FM radio in the sense that you've got this, as you mentioned, if people don't have their shops open, they can't advertise. And that's obviously to do with the COVID. Then you've got this whole transition to digital radio and to a different format of how you present radio and try and make money out of it, you know. And really, it's quite a challenge on both of those levels globally. Do you find that now with you, it really has become global, the whole radio thing? It doesn't really matter where you live, so you can live where you want. And it's something you can, you know, you can work in America or work in Britain or in Europe. And really, isn't it a wonderful thing? You know, if I look back at the old days going to Radio Nova in Ireland, I had to get on my bicycle in -3 degrees and go up and do the news at breakfast. I had to physically get there. How different is it now, Enda Caldwell? So different.
It is, and I suppose it's taken the heart and soul and the life out of it. And there was the beauty of just, you know, doing that in the -3 degrees, going in on the bike and enjoying your day at work, making a cup of tea and getting yes. down to brass tacks of doing the news, or if you're doing a gig on air, or you know, playing out Rick D's weekly top 40, as anything you might have been doing, be it in Leeson Street or at Nova Park or anywhere like that. I suppose that whole camaraderie of the people, the personalities, the Tony Allens, the Pat Courtney's, you know, where you had all these crazy characters in one place. Yeah, and it's so like true. That in all of the radio stations in Australia, New Zealand, England, capital in London, you know, you name it, all across the UK. And it's all been sort of just decimated by, before this, it's just been slowly killed over the past 20 years, where you had great brands not only just either being taken over, rebranded, renamed, as they did with a lot of them last year, and they call them all Greatest Hits Radio. Now, it's a pretty poor playlist, unfortunately. And it just doesn't reflect what should be. And it's just sad, because now they're trying to, you know, reignite people's interest in something that they probably had lost interest in a long time ago. And when people go away, it's really hard to get them back, Henry, really hard.
Yes, yes.
And if you've lost that energy, as it were, you will never be able to reignite that unless you regenerate it, you know. But it's very hard to regenerate it within such an innovative market, where it all comes through, as the great Chris Carey once said, our fearless leader said, Chris Carey said, it'll all come through the smartphone. And I've quoted that so many times, and even to you over the past number of years since he passed away, 13 years or so. So that it does all come through the mobile phone, and they're not interested, the mobile phone companies are not interested in doing music services or streaming, because they just know that people have Spotify, and that's how my good lady listens to music. She has a Bluetooth speaker in her car, and she'll just run Spotify through it. And that's, you know, that's somebody who's not that much in age difference to me, a 42-year-old female, and that's how people around the world are discovering music. They're finding it on Shazam, they're linking it to their Spotify. This is how they're listening to music now. They don't have the relationship with radio that you and I had. Yes. They don't have the relationship, because obviously we were in a very developed radio market at our time, thanks to the innovators that we were listening to and working for and with. However, when it comes to like other countries and places, people don't have that connection with it. And once you move away from somewhere, you develop your own new tastes and interests, and you want something that's portable. And the mobile phone offers so much more, because you will be in Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I messaged you on Facebook to do this interview. So we're talking about this, and we're talking about new apps and the way that they work and things that I've discovered. You know, WhatsApp is huge here on this island.
Yes.
Because
well, WhatsApp is huge everywhere. It's just everywhere. We gotta go. I knew once we started talking about radio, this could go on forever. Enda, it's so good to talk to you again. You're in the Cayman Islands. It sounds like you've got a lot of good stuff going on, and it sounds like you've got a partner there as well. Is that right?
Well, you just
is
say...
Is that complicated?
It's very easily explained in that... Well, it's easily just explained, but rather to keep one's personal life off the air is always the best way to do it.
Okay, yeah. Well, you've answered that question. You've answered that question.
And then somebody said to me, but what's her name? And I'm like, but I'm not going to tell you that, am I? You know?
Well, I never asked you.
Yeah.
Okay, and as I said, it's lovely to talk to you. Keep in touch, and we'll get you back on the air and see how things have evolved where you are over there. In the Cayman Islands.
Great. People can still hear me by visiting endacaldwell.com, endacaldwell.com. They can also visit pulse87ny.com, pulse87ny.com, and look out for me on the schedule, because I've been covering for the past couple of months on Drive Time there and doing it from the Cayman Islands and from Jamaica. Wow. And from everywhere else, covering for my good buddy Abel Sanchez. And so it's all been good. And I mean, the next time I talk to you, we'll actually delve back into a good friend of mine by the name of Chip Hobart, who helped discover Bon Jovi. So perhaps we'll talk about him. He passed away on St. Patrick's Day. So we can talk about him in the future, because I reckon we have more to this interview. And we can the chat with Bob Gallico again, which I still believe was one of my outstanding works of broadcasting.
It was indeed. I remember it. Yeah. Okay, Enda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You're more than welcome. And I'll send you some sunshine from the Cayman Islands.
Please do. Not that we don't have enough in Sydney. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Entertaining Britain in the 70s. The 1970s was undoubtedly the most successful decade for Britain's Eurovision songs. Only one winner, but also 4 seconds, a third, and a fourth. That winner came in 1976 from Brotherhood of Man with Save All Your Kisses for Me, a bouncy up-tempo number typical of the UK entries of the period. The group was created by songwriter and record producer Tony Hiller in 1969, and scored a worldwide hit with United We Stand the following year. It was fronted initially by Tony Burrows, who was known as the frontman for Edison Lighthouse, and feature the voices of Roger Greenaway, formerly of the Kestrels, as well as Sue Glover and Sonny Leslie, who had performed as a duo called Sue and Sonny. The group performed throughout the 1970s with other songs making the charts, but their lineup changed frequently, with Burroughs leaving the group in 1972, and they were increasingly compared with ABBA, sometimes accused of ripping off their sound. By 1974, the lineup had changed to the quartet Brotherhood of Man would become best known for. The group became successful in Europe before returning to do the same in the UK. After winning the Eurovision Song Contest in 1976, Brotherhood of Man enjoyed 3 years of hit singles and albums. They had number one hits in the UK with the songs Angelo and Figaro, as well as successful album chartings and other top 20 singles in a number of countries. However, their success started to fizzle out and they split up. In 1986, the band reunited, and they've been together ever since, performing all over the UK and continental Europe. They also appear at numerous Eurovision Song Contest fan events and other related shows, and have appeared in UK national finals and in documentaries, encouraging present-day British entries as they prepare to follow in their footsteps. But now back to 1976 and that Eurovision number one.
Though it hurts to go away, it's impossible to stay. But there's one thing I must say before I go. I love you.
I love you.
You know, I'll be thinking of you in most everything I do. Now the time is moving on, and I really should be gone. But you keep me hanging on for one more smile. Save them up for me. Your kisses for me. Save all your kisses for me. Bye bye, baby. Bye bye. Don't cry, honey. Don't cry. Gonna walk out the door, but I'll soon be back for more. Kisses for me. Save all your kisses for me.
Inside the lives of Bondi Tunes correspondents, Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang. I was originally born in China and had lived in Hong Kong before residing in the United Kingdom with my family. My childhood years living in the Far East had a positive influence in my life in terms of cultures, customs and traditions, which were interesting, fascinating and educational. I loved the Chinese New Year celebrations and the Moon Festival in particular, when families got together having a feast, followed by the traditional lion dance. Those were the best times for me. I love life in the UK for its histories, architectures and natures that are so unique. UK is the place where I first discovered my love of music. I enjoyed listening to mostly soul, country and pop music, which eventually got me interested in becoming a radio presenter and broadcaster. The best jobs in the world, I think, are sharing great music with my listeners and interviewing people of all walks of life. My children, Tessa, Jeremy, and partner, Butch League, are my world and inspiration. Well, other hobbies I like are line dancing and home cooking. I live a very busy life and love what I do. Thank you, Henry, for having me in your Bondi Tunes team. This is Ling Pang from the UK, and I am the UK correspondent at Bondi Tunes International.
From Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.